I can hear you, Kavi. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yeah. All right, so welcome everyone. We just had one straggler join us here in the room. We're in a very big room with about seven or eight of us, so there's it's a little bit of an echo chamber in here, but thanks everyone for making the meeting. Danielle, do you want to start with the roll call?
Yes, thank you. ICANN board, Kaveh Ranjbar, here. Kim Davies from PTI, Russ Mundy from SSAC. We have Brad Baird from RSAC, Carlos Martinez from the ASO. Not here. Jim Reed from IETF.
Yes.
Howard Eland from the GNSO Registries Stakeholder Group.
Yes.
Dwayne Bessels from the Bearzine as the Root Zone Maintainer.
Yes.
And then for staff, we have Steve Sheng and Danielle Rutherford. Oh, sorry. CCNSO, Peter Koch. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Danielle. I guess we have the full hour and a half if we need it, but we'll go through the topics for the agenda today. We want to spend some time talking about member reappointments, chair election procedure, and I think all these things are kind of related. As well as that, we'll talk about the cadence for future meetings and any future work. And I added a sort of a late-breaking development, which is just in the last couple of days, the KSK rollover plan was published, and maybe we want to talk about that as well. Are there any other items that people would like to add to the agenda at this point?
I just checked my calendar. At least in mine, it says it's 1 hour just for the...
Okay, it's just 1 hour, sorry. All right. We'll try to keep it to that then.
One other thing that I'd like to add under AOB is there something needed from RZERC with respect to the threat document discussions that have been going on, especially at the board level, and looking at things that people are worried about from a threat perspective, and does RZERC need to do anything or be aware of anything?
All right, thanks, Russ. So I guess let's go through the administration topics. So RZERC has not had a meeting for quite a while. I don't actually remember the date of our previous meeting. Feels like at least 6 months ago, 9 months ago, something like that. So there has not been any work before the committee and we haven't met. I believe that has led to a little bit of us being a little bit lax in remembering some of our things, such as our appointment schedules and chair election procedures and so on. As we were preparing for this meeting, I was working with Steve, and we were thinking about all the things that we need to do that we haven't done for a while, such as reconfirming some of the member appointments and so on, and reappointing the RZERC chair. So my term is up. Officially, I forget the date, but it's very soon, right? This month, I believe, or so, or was it the previous month? Anyway, historically, with the help of staff and myself, we have sent letters to the appointing organizations, sort of asking them to reconfirm their appointments on a regular basis, and I would say this meets with sort of mixed success. Some of those organizations don't respond right away. Some of them do. This can take quite a while. I think, Steve, didn't it take 3 or so months last time to get everyone to sort of, confirm the appointments? I find this a little bit frustrating, dealing with the way that all the other organizations appoint members to RZERC, because some of them have sort of open-ended appointments, and some of them have fixed schedules and term limits, and they're all sort of different. But up to date, that's sort of the way we've been operating, is to, on some regular basis, ask them to reconfirm. We haven't done that for a while. And so it's you know, maybe it's a good idea to do that. At the same time, I think maybe we might want to consider changing the way we do this. I think it's not a particularly efficient use of our time and resources, and it's very complicated. would anyone else like to speak to this issue at this point? Any input?
Yeah, this is Russ. One of the real challenges we have is this group is made up of appointments from a bunch of different groups, and each of the sending groups has the latitude of making the choice in their own manner. And as from our end, we can't really control how they do that. So we're sort of not a slave, but we're subject to their process, whatever they may choose to use. And it seems to me that we need to, I like the idea of having at least a reminder come from RZERC that member X and or Y, their term as we have it is up at certain, at a point in time. That way it moves the responsibility from RZERC to the sending organization to do the right thing. So I think it's a good thing to do to notify the sending organizations at some appropriate time. I'm not sure if three months, 6 months, 1 week, I don't know, you know, in advance.
Okay, thanks, Russ. That's good input. Peter? Oh, go ahead, Peter. And I see Howard, you have your hand up too.
No, it's on, right? Okay, so this is Peter for the record. This is probably a communications issue only. One of the issues could be, I'm just second guessing, that reappointment or reconfirmation might trigger certain things that we don't want to trigger and may contribute to the confusion. I could imagine, though, that the very very able staff that supports both the ACs and SOs as well as ourselves could have marks in their calendar to actually talk to each other and then trigger the things that are necessary. And just for the record, I got my second term of length of 3 years from the CCNSO earlier this year, and I hope that has arrived at this committee. If not, we can trigger the official announcement as well. But it's on the record for the CCNSO. And maybe it's important, and that's follow-up to Russ, that we ask the various SOs and ACs that they explicitly state for how long the term of the appointee is, so that we don't have to ask every year. And then probably stir some confusion, because the sending AC or SO might think, well, we sent somebody for 3 years, why are they coming back after one? That's, again, second guessing, but should be a clerical thing that can be done by cooperation through calendar. Thank you. Unless there's a serious issue, but I think we have stability on the committee for quite some time. That might change, because some of us are term limited based on the sending organization's rules, and that might make the things more important, actually. Thank you.
All right, Howard, you wanted to make a comment, I believe?
Sure, thanks, Blaine. Just to somewhat conflate 4A and 4B, given the length of time that it takes to get some of the organization's feedback, I'd like to suggest that perhaps what we do is shift the chair election procedure out a full 6 months or so from the time we call the reappointment polling, if you will, because that way it gives us enough time to do that. Plus, it gives folks a month or two to bake in, plus or minus however we do this cadence in 4D. That gives us a couple of months bake in time, but not too long, so that we're waiting too long for a new chair. So just to try and synchronize how we do all of these things together.
Thanks, Howard. I think one of the complications that I see is that not everyone's terms are synchronized on the calendar. And so, you know, if I was ICANN staff supporting this, I think I'd be very frustrated that I would have to do one reminder in July and another reminder in August and so on. It doesn't all come at the same time, right? I don't know if you want to speak to that, Steve, but I would be frustrated in your shoes. And I think it makes a lot of this complicated, like you said, Howard, like the way that it relates to the chair election schedule. Jim, I know you would like to speak to this as well.
Yeah, thank you, Dean. Some of you remember we had a little bit of email conversation about this a couple of weeks ago. And this issue of synchronization of appointments, I think, is a bit more problematical than we might have first realized. The ITF process is to appoint someone to RZERC in the summer of each year for a one-year term, for a maximum of four terms. So if we're going to change this, the ITF procedures that the IEB oversee will have to be changed. And there's a document on that, RSC 8182, if I remember correctly. And conversations I've had with members of the IEB about this, and Dwayne and myself have had with Wes on the IEB last week at the ORC meeting, suggest that, well, I think there's some concern from the ITF side of things. They're not too keen on making changes unless there's an overwhelming or a compelling reason to do that. So we need to think about this a little bit more. And I think there's another issue here, which also relates to the appointment process for the RZERC chair. But the issue we've got here at the moment is that the appointments, as I understand it, we've got a mixture of people who've been appointed essentially semi-permanently to RZERC. There are people appointed typically from the supporting organisations or the advisory committees on a three-year term. And then you've got me as the outlier for the ITF appointed on an annual basis.
Thanks, Jim. Just so I'm clear, is your appointment on a calendar schedule, like an annual, you start in January kind of a thing?
No, it's to be done by the summer. The ITF schedules are fairly vague, I think mainly from the point of view of flexibility. But the idea is, in the past, it's been is they come to me around about April or May each year and say, Jim, do you want to continue for another year, yes or no? And if I was to say no, they would then run another selection procedure and find someone to replace me. And that replacement or my reconfirmation would be done in the summer every year. And that's how it has been done over the last 3 years.
Hey, Jim, it's Brad. So confirmation in the summer doesn't mean active. So you could be confirmed in the summer, but you start in January. It doesn't sound like that's the case. As soon as you're confirmed, you are it. Is that correct?
Well, I don't think anyone's really given any thought to that kind of finessing of the situation, but maybe that would be a nice way to try and align things with all the other organizations. I don't think anyone's really given a great deal of thought to that point of view. Nice suggestion.
The other thing that's problematic, Jim, particularly with your appointment, is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but the term of the chair is greater than 1 year, right? So indeed, that means that Jim can kind of de facto never be chair, which I think is unfair.
Well, it's not unfair to me. I'm quite happy not to be given that sort of responsibilities. But yes, that point also was made in the ITF discussions I had privately with them about this, because it's a two-year appointment to the chairmanship. And we're actually going to have that problem at some point with the other members that are appointed to this committee, because I think most of them are on a three-year cycle, and we've got a two-year cycle for the chairmanship's position. So at some point, those are going to either overlap or straddle in a way, which is going to be suboptimal. And the point I did make on the list about this was we might end up in the situation where there's only one eligible candidate to take the job of chairman, because the only person that's there for at least a three-year term or a two-year term. But I think that's a separate problem. I think we first of all have to deal with this synchronization issue. So with the synchronization of appointments, and then as you said before, Howard, how that then affects the appointment procedure for the chairmanship.
So I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, Steve, and maybe how this works in other committees, or if you've seen this kind of problem before.
thanks, Duwin. For the RZERC terms, we have. So we have for some members, for example, Russ, that's by calendar year. So your term ends December 31st. And we have some like August 31st, August, some November. So so it's a mix. They're everywhere. With other ACs, I can speak for the ESSAC where you can have been appointed to ESSAC and that your term starts immediately, but it will end on the December 31st. So you can start any time of the year, but your term ends December 31st. So that may be one way to think about, because taking consideration that the different appointing organizations have different timelines, So that may be one way to get around that.
So, Russ. I'll just do you think it would work to align the appointments in RZERC to like a calendar year schedule or something like that? Is that something we should consider, or is it not a good idea?
No, I think it would be cleaner because right now, if we send out requests, we will be sending out requests to every organization every other month. You know, say, you know, your membership term is up, let's please confirm, and then another month to another organization. So I think there's
value. And they're likely to fall through the cracks, I would think. Right. We're gonna forget.
Right. Yeah, this is Russ. I think it's certainly reasonable for RZERC to ask the sending organizations to do that, but I don't know that we can force them. So sending this out to make it, you know, at least as much as we can to have consistency. But one of the things that I wanted to do before I got here, and I hadn't had a chance to actually dig into it, is to look at our current procedures to see if we have in our procedures, a plan of supersession, if you will, both for the chairman and if a seat goes empty, because it can happen at any time. I'm again speaking from the ESSAC perspective. An ESSAC member can resign from ESSAC at any point in time. And so, you know, if I decided I'm done, walk out the door, the ESSAC seat is empty. So we should have at least something in our procedures that would address filling an empty seat and what we were going to do. And I think something similar, if that person happened to be the chair of the group, then we should have something that would document how we go about filling that.
Yes, thank you. This is Peter again. It appears to me that this synchronization issue is kind of important in the long run. We apparently have this filling of the chair position in front of us more immediate. However, the decision to have the terms based on the customs and habits of the sending organization was hopefully deliberate, and it's enshrined in the charter, and any change that we would imply or suggest would have to go into the charter. Now, the charter is going to be up for review in, I think, 1.5 years anyway. So my suggestion would be, maybe we can do some preparatory work, but like understanding what the consequences are, because Russ, you just mentioned that once you're out of ESSEC, you also lose your position. That's what you said, and or how I read it, at least. This is not necessarily true for other people, like because, for example, Jim, you can't get out of the ITF and lose your position. You can, of course, resign in any way, and same holds for others. That might be true for the RZM assignment as well, if you go away. So we should understand what the risks are, what the scenarios are. On the other hand, now doing a synchronization work, which involves going back to all the SEs and ACs and SOs, quite frankly, for a committee that doesn't do any visible work at the moment, might be a difficult task as well to convince them that they need to agree on a joint scheme. So again, my suggestion is to postpone this until we do the charter review and then get some input and try to understand what the real issue is and find a pragmatic way to get the chair appointed or reappointed for the running year or two. Thank you.
Jim, you have a comment, please?
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to shock everyone by saying I broadly agree with everything Peter's just said. And people that know both of us find that usually Peter and myself are almost always at loggerheads on things. But the point I was just going to make was just an informational thing, that in RFC 8128, which is the ITF's appointment procedure for RZEC, they say the IB expects to seat new RZEC members in time for ICANN's annual general meeting in Q4 of each year. So maybe this is a useful metric that maybe some of the other appointed or the appointing organisations might like to consider if we're going to provide this process of retweaking the charter, which I think is something we might inevitably have to do in 18 months' time, although that won't involve me because I'll be out of RZEC before that. Just to go on that little bit, in that document, in section 3.4, it says the ITF is going to allow 4 to 6 weeks for solicitation of nominees or review of incumbent, 4 to 6 weeks for review of nominees, deliberation and selection. So in Q2 of each year, the IB will announce the specific dates for the RZEC selection process for that year, taking into account the guidelines for ITF and ICANN meetings, blah, blah, blah. So that's the process which the IEB is using on behalf of the ITF's nominee. And maybe this, again, something else that might be worthwhile considering for other appointing organizations to consider.
All right, thanks, Jim. That's some good data points, I think, to keep in mind. Any other comments about this particular item before we...
This is Brad. I guess I'm curious, you know, Russ, you made the comment that, like, you know, we can't force the organizations to change their timelines or whatnot. But do you really think, maybe I'm trying to think of how to word this, but what type of pushback would you get if we went to our organizations and said, there's a problem and they're asking to change our appointment dates? Is that a big deal? I think with RSAG, it'd be no big deal. I think we could fix that, no issue. I think RZM, you could probably address it. IANA, you probably address it. I guess the questions are kind of like for SSAC, you know, IETF, obviously. I mean, for something like how big of a deal would it be if we went around the table? Would it be a big deal? I don't know. I think you guys know your communities, so that's why I'm asking the question.
Just to let everybody know that this meeting is being recorded and per the RZERC operational procedures will be posted online.
Okay. I don't know how to interpret that, but okay.
So this is Peter for the record, actually, and I'll be careful what to say. Appreciate the additional information, or not additional, but the reminder. I'm not going to judge big deal or not, but at least for the CCNSO, I just can say that there's, of course, also an internal procedures document that has certain dates and so on and so forth. And while I have the RFC in front of me, I don't have the CCNSO document right in front of me, but it's public as well. And the question is who to put the burden on and what's going back and forth and what are the internal consultation procedures. And again, probably you should understand what exactly the issue is. Like, synchronization might be nice, but that then means a deviation from the general rule that the sending organization determines what the terms and the term limits are, because we have 2-year terms and 3-year terms. And going back to the chair situation, that could also mean that somebody cannot be or would not be eligible as chair because the rest of the term is only 1 year, or you name it. And then again, going back to what is actually the problem that we're trying to solve. Synchronization sounds nice, but the people who wrote the charter probably had something in mind when they thought of giving that leeway to the organizations. And that might or might not be a big deal. I don't think we'll enter into a civil war or something.
Yeah, it seems like maybe we just need to ask them, at least informally, and see what people say. All right, I think So remote guys, any last words on this, or can we move on to the other topics?
Yeah, just one thing. Wayne, thanks. To go back to what Brad was saying before, I think I can't speak for the ITF or the IAB in this issue because they've not given me any sense of direction. My reading of the situation at the moment is that they view it as the current arrangements as not broken and therefore don't need fixing. So if they have to be changed, there should be a really good reason for doing that. I don't think they're a big deal about actually making a change to the documents, but I think they want to see there's a good reason for doing it. And perhaps more importantly, they're not going to come back and have to do it all again in a year's time because we've missed out on something else.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Brad. I quickly rephrase. Big deal was probably the wrong choice of words now that everybody is hung up on it. So let's just say what would be the amount of effort involved in synchronizing the appointees amongst our organizations?
Okay, thanks. So I think we should move on to the related issue, which is the ARZERC chair election procedure. So ideally, we would probably be sort of in the middle of an election right about now to re-elect the chair. But as I said, since we hadn't been meeting for a while and we're a little bit out of practice, and I take the blame for some of this of not remembering soon enough that all this needed to happen this month, we weren't really able to put the election together. We wanted to get some reappointments done first to make sure that the people in the committee would actually be here and be able to stand for the chair election. So there is a proposal, which I think you all have seen, which is that myself and the staff would send out reappointment letters to at least a subset of the organizations, and then the election would take place in February, right, Steve? And meanwhile, I am willing to continue to serve as an interim chair with the understanding that this interim period would not extend my second term, or if there were to be a second term in any way. So we would continue on the previous schedule for the end of the chair's term. That's basically the proposal. Comments?
I think Howard just suggested a 6-month time period instead of about a 3, though, before the election. This is Russ. Didn't I hear that about 5 minutes ago, Howard?
Russ, yeah, this is Howard. Yes, you did. And since our conversations about the relative impracticality, at least in the short term, of the synchronization of reappointment, it sounds to me like it doesn't matter when we do it. It's not really the best time, at least as until we get through that sync process. So from that perspective, it sounds like it doesn't matter when we do it, and I don't even necessarily see a need to wait to February, right? Just to kind of put the shoe on the other foot.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification, Howard. I think maybe Carlos, have you joined us just now? Maybe not. Well, Carlos, if you're
sorry, folks. Yes, I have joined.
Okay. Thanks,
Carlos.
A couple
of minutes ago.
Thanks. So we are currently on agenda item 4B. We are talking about the process to elect the ARZERC chair, and hopefully you've seen the proposal in the email about that.
Yes, I have.
Thank you. So feel free to speak up anytime if you have a comment, and anyone else as well, raise your hand or speak up if you have more comments about the proposal for the chair election. Okay, I guess not. So we can probably proceed with that then, I guess. And I'll work with Steve and the staff to get the appointment letters going out and get going on that as soon as possible.
Well, just a moment before we move on, Dwayne.
Sure.
I think there's two aspects to this tier election mechanism. There's the immediate problem is finding your successor or extending your term to such times as we can appoint a successor. But I think we're going to have to look at things such as the RZEP chair's term because of this problem, the synchronization of not just the dates of appointments or the timings of the appointments, but the terms of the appointees to the committee. Peter made the point earlier on, we're going to have this situation, and I made this point before, we're going to have a situation where we will have appointees to the committee whose terms as appointees would straddle their appointment as the chairman. No matter how we do this, we've got a 3-year appointment for several members of the committee, 1-year appointment for others, and we're going to have to figure out a way of solving that. So either we might have to change the charter, and of course that could be 18 months down the line when we review it, or we have to come up with some sort of interim mechanism, and that could be something as simple as, you know, that I discussed with you, Dwayne, the RZEP at the UOP meeting last week, was that we could say, if, let's say for argument's sake, Peter is chosen as the new chairman of RZEP, that then go back to CCN or so and say, is there any reason why the CCN will consider that Peter would not be eligible to see a 2-year term as chairman? So maybe we need to think about something as a quick and dirty fix as a way of trying to get around this problem of having an RZERC's chair term straddling the boundaries of their appointment term, because we need to fix that. And I think the only way to fix that practically is going to be to change the charter.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I don't know about changing charter versus procedures. Maybe one of them. But it sounds like at this point, at least, you're not really suggesting that the chair term be changed to 1 year instead of 2. Is that correct?
I don't have any strong feelings about this either way, Dwayne. One thing I just had as a suggestion off the top of my head was that the chair could be set for a 1-year term that's renewable for a maximum of 3 or 4 years. That might be a way around it in the longer run. I think in the shorter term, I think we need to just have something that says that is that whoever succeeds you has got some kind of indication from their appointing organisation that they would be able to serve a full 2-year term.
Okay, thanks. I think there's a comment in the room. Brad?
This is Brad. It would be nice to see a visual. I hate to say it, but all our names in a swim lane format kind of shows, you know, year, 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 year. 2-year term, 2-year term, 2-year term, 1 year, 1 year, 4 year, whatever it is. So you can kind of see how bad the problem is and see what boundaries you need to put in to make it work. That would be a starting point. Rather, you know, I'm trying to have this conversation and I'm listening to Peter and I'm listening to Jim and I'm listening to everybody at Howard. And I'm just like, okay, he was 1 year, he's 2 years. I'm, you know, year three, so it's different across the board. While I we clearly have a problem, like Jim pointed out, like you pointed out, that you know, you there would be a situation where somebody gets elected and either they're not able to be chair because they're terming out, like say next year, or they would term out the following, you know, it gets a little complicated. So I think having a visual to start the conversation, and then my suggestion would be to go change the procedures document and for me to go change. I can go change the procedures document in RSAC and get it voted. I think that'd be a fairly simple task. It's not a bylaw. It's not something that has to go for public comment. It's not, you know, this is an internal thing. Obviously, I know it's different for every organization. I understand that. But that would be one way that I can address it. If that helps, I don't know. So.
That's a good idea. I think the visual would help when we go to the other groups and explain the problem to them. Howard, your hand is up.
So just to kind of key off what Brad said, a couple ideas here. Hopefully no one has tomatoes in the room. The first is perhaps the way we word it is that when we go to make a change that we say the minimum length of term or the term for the chair has to be at most the shortest length of any particular AC or what have you, nomination. Yeah, another way to do it may be that it's not an individual that is elected chair, but the representative from that ACA working group or what have you. So then that actually eliminates the issue of a new person has been nominated because whoever fills that role is still in that chair seat. So a couple of different ways to skin that cat, neither of which I think I'm too crazy about, but just suggestions.
Yeah, thanks, Howard. Peter's got his hand up next.
You can throw the first tomato.
Okay, thank you. Maybe first on the point, Peter, for the record, which things people think my last name is for the record, but we had that already. On the point of getting informal notice from the sending ACs and SOs, I think that was Jim who suggested that. I'm not speaking for the CCNSO Council, but I could not imagine that a standing CCNSO Council would bind the succeeding CCNSO Council in their decision to appoint somebody. So that informal note or something is probably not anything that we can build upon. However, I would like to support the suggestion made by Brad and also seconded already by Dwayne, that the visual could help us identify, well, maybe not the problem, but if we're curious about who are we likely to see in a year from now, then the members of the committee can actually make that decision and then unfortunately might not be able or might agree not to appoint a chair that is foreseeable leaving the committee in less than a year. The tomatoes, I think members of the committee are appointed by organizations but serve on personal title. And therefore I think the succession plan as laid out by Howard is kind of incompatible with the compilation of the committee and would violate the spirit. But engineering wise, I like the idea, but I don't think it's workable.
Yeah, this is Brad. I kind of second what Peter said around the succession. The way I would want, the way I can think about addressing the succession is that the committee appoint a new chair to fulfill the existing term of the person who lost their seat or left or for whatever reason, but that term, however long it is, doesn't count towards the term limit based upon them as they're in their own capacity. Does that make sense? It's like if they were, you know, so somebody might get it for two terms plus some, but you know, that's, I think that's, again, I would address that in the procedures document.
Okay, thanks. I think so maybe by our next meeting we can have some specific recommendations around updates to the procedures document or the charter if necessary to address some of these issues. I'll work with staff and maybe Jim, you want to help us out here too, since I know you're passionate about this.
I wouldn't say passionate, but yeah.
All right. So again, in the interest of time, we've only got 15 minutes left. Item 4C is any foreseeable work for our ZERC. I think we've got some of that on the agenda already, maybe with the KSK rollover, but briefly, is there anything else that people are aware of at this time that they would like to mention, but not maybe spend a lot of time discussing right now?
I have one that I hesitate to mention, which is signing of rootservice.net that continues to come up in conversations kind of here and there and whatnot. And while I'm not in favor of it, but I know others are, but my question is, would that fall in here with our ZERC? I'm not sure. So that's why I wanted to.
Yeah, I think that's a question for maybe our next meeting.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So we don't need to spend time here, but that's something that maybe we should talk about.
Okay.
And I think in a similar spirit, the future of KSK rollover plan, which is in AOP, but I think same question. First of all, does it apply here? And then see if we want to take it anywhere.
Kim?
I think we discussed this as a scenario in our early planning, but for awareness, we are developing our next generation root zone management system. We are talking about changing some of the procedures and the approval thresholds for certain TLDs to approve their change requests. I think based on our discussions, we'd agreed that wouldn't be in scope of RZERC. But nonetheless, I'm very happy to give an update at a future meeting, just to explain what is potentially implied by that. And if we felt differently and we felt it did require more RZERC attention, happy to see how we would do that.
All right, thanks. There's one that I will mention, sort of a project of mine recently within the ITF is this record type called Zone MD, Zone Message Digest, and I'm hoping that that's getting near to complete. And when it is, you know, we would like to suggest that we actually put that in the root zone in the future. So we'll talk about that at a future meeting as well, hopefully. Anything from Carlos or Howard or Jim before we move on?
Not for me.
Yes, I'm good. I'm not sure if it fits here or not, but I wonder whether the new GTL list, I mean the new GTL list, may be a topic we should analyze at some point.
Was that a no that I heard in the background? Oh, sorry. All right.
I'm at soccer practice. You'll forgive me. I'm at soccer practice. Sorry.
That was amazing timing.
Peter.
Yeah, Peter again. I was wondering whether the evolution of the, not the root service system, but components that are beyond the root service themselves, as in local root or hyperlocal or how you name it, whether they might need or might benefit from a different, not pair, but collection of eyes that goes beyond what RSEC is, I'm sure, already looking at. In terms of future evaluation, future evolution, actually, and I'm not mentioning DOE.
To that point, I think in general, yes, that's good, but not for RZERC, because this is root zone evolution review committee, and I think it's specifically talks about one root zone, correct? So, in my book, this is the compilation of that one root zone and what goes inside that, how it's distributed or how it's accessed, or other root zones that might be created, I don't think it would be part of the scope of this committee.
Yeah, Peter is not violently arguing in favor of the point I raised. We might just want to understand that if it's not us, is there anybody else looking at that in that with that holistic angle? Thank you.
This is Russ. And our one of the things that's in our charter is that any member can bring up anything for discussion. And so bringing it up for discussion and talking about it is different than necessarily publishing anything about it. So I think perhaps we need to keep in mind that before we put anything out, we have to start talking about it. And the results could be, no, we don't have anything to say there.
Yeah, thanks, Russ. So to be honest, this topic elicited more ideas than I was expecting. And so I would say that if you would like a specific topic on our upcoming meeting, please be very specific and say, I would like to talk about this at our next meeting, because it sounds like we will have a lot of things to work on probably in the upcoming meetings. Okay. And that sort of relates to one of the next topics, which is the cadence of meetings. As mentioned before, we hadn't met for a long time, and I think in hindsight that was maybe a mistake, and I was going to suggest that the committee should meet at least every quarter. I don't think we'll maybe have that problem in the future, but that's a proposal I would make. I don't think it even needs to go into the procedures. It could just be an informal policy, if you will, that we should meet at least every quarter. I'm seeing heads nodding in the room. Any comments remotely?
I agree. We should meet periodically. Once per quarter sounds okay.
Kim?
Is there any desire or non-desire to align meetings with ICANN meetings? Just a question.
Suggesting that rather than every quarter, we just meet at every ICANN meeting at least? Is that kind of where you're going, or?
I think it's a consideration. I mean, if we think we get work done more effectively at ICANN meetings, we have three of those a year, obviously. But on the contrary, sometimes if we don't have a lot of people traveling, it might be easier we don't try and cram it into the ICANN agenda, except for our sort of annual meeting we might do.
Okay. Jim, I see in the chat that you noticed you lodged your protest. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, thanks, Sven. I don't see the point in having meetings unless we get something specifically to discuss. I've got no problem with people suggesting we have meetings every 3 months or so, and maybe we align them with other industry events while enough of the committee happen to be in the same place at the same time. But I don't think we just have a meeting for the sake of having a meeting. If we've got nothing to discuss and there's no piece of work item in front of us, I see no point in having a meeting. Frankly, it's just a waste of everybody's time.
Okay, well, I guess I don't agree with that. I think, a 1 hour meeting every 3 months is not really a huge waste of our time. And I think it would help us stay on top of our procedures and our schedule, things that we need to remember. So
I appreciate your point, Dwayne, but I just have this concern that if we get into the habit of having meetings for the sake of having meetings, all sorts of other cruft and stuff will just accumulate, and we end up just having stuff and end up having discussions about things which are really not perhaps necessary or germane, or we have meta discussions which really don't serve any useful purpose. So I would strongly urge us that if we're going to have meetings, there has to be a clear agenda and a clear topic or something that needs our attention. And if that isn't there, we shouldn't meet, other than having the statutory requirement of having one physical meeting a year.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Jim. I'm certainly not suggesting to have a meeting without an agenda, but I take your point. All right. Kim?
Just briefly, I mean, it seems to me that the essential element is not necessarily the meeting. It's that we make a explicit effort every 3 months or so to review, do we have anything that we need to do, and get some kind of consensus about whether there is a need to meet. So if we could somehow work into our routine that we do that, and then we can make a call online whether a meeting is warranted or not.
Okay, thanks. Brad?
Sorry, just real quick. Aren't we, by our procedure, say we will meet once a year? So that just to add that to, we must meet once a year. So just to add that to the.
Okay. I'm going to skip item 4E because I think this is now sort of overcome by events. I think we don't need to really worry about that at this time. And in the remaining time, I would like to discuss the future KSK rollover plan, which was published the last few days and has been getting some attention here at ICANN. From one of the meetings I was in, I know that I believe that the deadline has been extended now. Is that official? So the deadline for public comments is January 31, I believe, right? Even though that's a couple of months, you know, given all the stuff that's coming up with holidays, that's still kind of not a lot of time, I think, for us to get something out. We have a few minutes, so would people like to express an opinion on whether or not RZERC should make a comment on this as we did, for the previous rollover plan?
This is Russ. I'll stick my neck out here and say, I think RZERC should respond with something. I think we should look at the plan, and if we like it, say that. If we have specific changes or comments or whatever that are, you know, other than 100% endorsement kind of thing, then we should say that also, because what we're really talking about is activities that directly tie into our chartered remit area. This is content of the root zone and changing content of the root zone. So I think we need to say something.
I'm going to call on Howard. He says, hand up in chat. Howard?
Oh, yeah. So it's very similar to what I was going to say. So plus one to Russ. I would like to suggest that in the event that we don't have a meeting for 3 months or whatever, that we take it to the list to start the review. and just to make sure that we get a bit of legwork on that first, and then and use that as the, at least the kickoff point here, just in case meeting time comes up short for holidays, what have you.
All right. Thank you, Howard. Kaveh, still have a comment?
Yeah, so basically, I agree with Russ. I think it's good if, especially if you endorse it, it's good if it comes from this group. But if one wants to nitpick, because, and I have to open up the charter, but it's not changes into the root zone, it's evolution. And this is not evolving the root zone, correct? The process is new, but what will go to root zone. So, but I think that's too much detail. So I think, especially if you endorse it, I think that that goes a long way if it goes from this diverse group of experts involved in the system.
Okay, thank you. So I would encourage us all to take a look at that and, you know, be prepared to start working on a formal comment document from our ZERC, and we can talk about it at an upcoming meeting, which reminds me, one thing not on our agenda is scheduling our next meeting, so we'll have to send out a doodle poll or something, I'm sure, to find a time for a meeting in about a month from now, right? Is everyone okay with the idea of meeting again in about a month? And of course, discussions on the list if necessary.
I am fine with it.
All right. Thanks, so Carlos.
For this, because the deadline is January, correct? So we need end of January. So we need to conclude by then, even if you want to endorse or something.
And to be clear, I mean, it's not a formal policy process, so if there's a reasonable need to extend or whatever, we're within reason flexible.
All right, thank you. So let's see, we've still got a few minutes. Russ, do you want to talk about the threat document stuff?
Sure, thanks, Dwayne. This week, there have been several meetings that I've been in, more from the ESSAC perspective, but the BTC Board Technical Committee is also discussing the what is going on with the threat specifically that is faced by the internet and the root servers and, you know, the overall system. ESSAC started a thing last summer was as a threat scan, but I'm more curious to hear from Kaveh in terms of what the board is looking at and what kind of inputs or responses, or is there any action that you would see that ARZERC would need to say anything about with respect to these threat scan from the board?
Yep. So, first of all, I don't think that document is open that was shared with ESSAC, but I will check because I don't think there's any issue sharing it with ARZERC. But there is a document which BTC Board Technical Committee started to create, and it came from requests from Board Risk Committee, because there were risk items in the organization risk charter and the risk management system, basically. And some of them are like threat to the root server system, things like that. There is a probability and there is an impact calculation, and then it goes to the whole strategy setup and everything. So they wanted more concrete stuff. They asked BTC to basically dive into those risks and figure out what are the components and what are the scenarios, things like that. So, and it started with a small document. Harald, the ITF liaison to the board, started that, and now it's became a long one. He's the main contributor. I will make an action for myself to ask and share. I'm almost sure there is no problem, but I will have to check. But from top of my head, and I think there is about 40 items there, so it's like 5 pages. From top of my head, none of that is related to the root zone, but still, it doesn't hurt to have it. Yeah, so basically that's...
So do you think the board would look for input from ARZERC, or not so much?
The thing is, BTC in general is very open. We are always looking for feedback, especially from groups like this. So if we find something interesting, of course, I can bring it back, and I'm sure it will be considered with a heavy weight.
Okay, thanks.
Surely the mechanism there would be for the board to say to ARZERC, have you got anything to say about this?
we can go the formal route, I think, if there is any. I don't know, but I think these things are easier handled informally. Basically, if I ask them, I share. But if you really see the need, yes, I can.
Well,
I can work with Duane to see if what would be the process, basically, to formally.
Well, I'm kind of getting a little bit uncomfortable that we might get into things which are out of scope for us and outside their own area of expertise. For example, risk management. I mean, I'm sure there are people on this committee who have got a great deal of experience that, but others don't. So my inclination would be is to not get involved in this unless the ICANN board explicitly tasks us to do that.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. So I think at least the issue for me is I haven't seen this document, so I don't know what its contents are.
Yeah.
I think at this point I'm not suggesting that we should comment on it. I guess the question is should the RZERC members look at it and then talk about if we want to comment on it. Would you like this to be an agenda item for our next meeting to follow up on this or not? Russ.
I think this would be a good thing for having the agenda for next time. I don't think there's any particular strong time urgency about it. It's something new that the board's working on that might or might not require input from RZERC. They haven't asked for anything formal of any sort yet. The reason I became aware of it is because of the work that the ESSAC is doing that is similar but different. And so if the board is working in the space and they're talking to advisory committees, it seems reasonable that we should have a look here.
Okay. Brad, go ahead.
I think this is premature. So we had this conversation with ESSAC. My comment to ESSAC was, I'd love to see the document. I can't do anything until I see the document. And I don't think there's anything for RZERC to do until we see the document and or we're tasked from the board to give an input. Until then, it's not an agenda item because there's nothing to do.
So basically the situation right now is the board has not asked RZERC because they didn't see they didn't say that in the scope of RZERC. I also personally didn't find that. So we can either wait or see if something comes or if they ask, then we act, or I can ask to share and then we can judge for ourselves. Up to us. I think we can do both.
Sorry, Cavi, for interrupting. I think we should take a very passive stance here. This is very premature, and I agree with what Brad has said. If the board doesn't ask us to intervene or comment on this, I think we should not interfere.
All right. Steve, you wanted to make a comment?
Thanks. Brad, I think there are actually two documents. There is one, the threat analysis that the ESSAC is working on that is yet to be released. And what Kaveh is mentioning, the BTC itself has done a threat analysis that contains about 40 or so threats. So whether to have that share with the RZERC. One thing I'd like to caution is the RZERC mailing list is open and the board document is a kind of a confidential document. So if anything, you know, if the RZERC decides they want to see it, we need to create another mechanism to have all the members here subscribe to a closed mailing list in order to receive that document. Thanks.
This is Peter. Thanks, Duane. I think we need to look again at the charter a bit because we're not a board committee, not a bylaws committee. So the board doesn't have to formally ask us. We have a board liaison. And if the liaison decides to share the document, whether confidential or open, that depends on the board's rules. RZERC members can consider the document, but we don't need a formal submission from the board. The board liaison sharing the document is formal enough, as far as I read the charter, actually.
All right, we've gone over time. Did you still want to make a comment? Did you didn't get the last word, Brad? Okay, all right. Remote folks, any last comments on this issue before we wrap up?
No, not for me.
Okay, thanks. So I'm sensing a little hesitation at this point, Russ. I guess maybe the next step will be that maybe Kaveh and Russ should read through the document if it's public, and then maybe come to Arzurk with a specific proposal if you think it's warranted. Does that sound good?
I think I would work with Russ to basically make a judgment call that do we see this something that we need Arzurk to see or is irrelevant. And if you find it relevant, then we will share. Otherwise, then we will consider the privacy issue. Thank you.
All right, very good. So we're at the end of our meeting. We need to wrap it up. Can expect a poll for the next meeting coming out soon. And that'll be a telephone meeting, obviously. Peter, you got a comment?
I was asking Peter here, do we have an AOB? Or are we in AOB already?
We made it to the end of the AOB.
Announce. I have another business.
Okay, please go ahead. Anyway,
this is very informal and it's kind of a confession. Just so people know, many of you may or may not know the ICANN wiki, and all the committees have an entry there, and Arzurk didn't, and I felt compelled to start one. It's very rough. If anyone wants to contribute, it's not there. So you can point your own pages to that, excuse me, own pages to that or something, just to let the committee know.
All right, thank you. Any last minute things before we wrap up, Steve or Danielle?
So I think the action item is to circle the doodle poll. Another potential action item is this, the idea that Brett suggested, this diagram of the visualization of the terms of the members, and we can work that with the chair to do that. So those are the two action items.
Well, and we have to send out the appointment letters. Yeah.
Right, and the KSK is
start that dialogue.
Start that dialogue and then send to the mailing list.
Yep.
Okay.
Was there also an AP to start talking about the Charter Review Committee, or did that work? I don't know if that's a subcommittee or if that's just all of us, but I didn't know if that was actually a formal AP that we described or we just talked about it.
So I think what I had proposed earlier was that at least myself and the staff would sort of work on a specific proposal, but if anyone wants to join in that, let me know and we can work informally together, I guess. Does that sound okay, Howard?
It wasn't really, I thought that was concerning specifically items 4A and B. I was talking about we're 18 months away from having to have the formal review or any changes made.
Oh, okay. And
I know it's a long ways out, but it sounded like we may have wanted to start that process, and that was unclear to me.
Okay,
thank
you.
If it was an actual AP or not.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. We'll record that. I'll talk with Steve and see what he thinks about the urgency of that, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
I think it'd be good to capture that as an action item, even if it's not something that has to be progressed immediately to me.
Okay.
We have it formally recorded.
Okay. That's a good idea. Thanks, Jim.
It probably is not urgent, but we could probably start like a running list of things people think that may need to be reviewed so that we always keep it there in the back burner and every once in a while review that.
I'd love to have that visualization that I described for that discussion. So make it a dependency type of stuff.
Can we make that 5-year charter review an agenda item for the next meeting? So that we just wrap up the things that we just talked about.
Sounds like I'm going to be busy this month. Okay. Thanks, everyone. We'll adjourn the meeting.
That's why you get the big bucks to win.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.
See you guys.
Thanks, all. Bye,
guys. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.